This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The left-hander set and ready. A look back at Azokar. Now the pitch, and Merrill swings, hits it hard through the left side and a base hit. Azokar's rounding third. He's going to come in and score. And with two strikes, Jackson Merrill, an opposite field single to put the Padres in front. It's 8-7 in the 11th.
Rumble, young man, rumble.
Right, I will. I promise I'll rumble. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris, everybody. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, and a short get-together on this Monday afternoon following a series victory over the Dodgers. Doesn't get a whole lot better than that here in America's finest city. Padres head into Milwaukee tonight to take on the Christian Yelich-less Milwaukee Brewers. With our guy, no, and Joe will be on the mound tonight for the Padres, and he'll be taking on former Padre Joe Ross and the Milwaukee Brewers. So that gets underway right after our program is over. Sam Levitt is hastily preparing for the pregame show, which gets underway in about an hour and a half from right now. First pitch at 5:40. 5:40?
Is that right? 4:40.
4:40.
Yes, 6:40 Central.
Yes. All right.
3:40 Sam Levitt pregame show starts.
4:40 ball game starts.
Ball game.
Want to start by being as polite as I possibly can. I am nothing if not polite, Scraby. I have great manners.
All right.
And I follow them very closely.
Okay.
And when somebody out there does something really, really nice for me and for all of us, I want to make sure that I am the first to thank them.
Okay.
So thank you, thank you, thank you, Will Smith.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Will Smith.
Yeah. Could not have spoken any more eloquently than he did after the ball game on Saturday night. And giving the Padres gold. Just absolutely handing them gold.
I agree.
And not only did the Padres use Will Smith's flippant comments to post a victory yesterday and wrap up the series over the Dodgers,
yeah,
but every time Jurickson Profar comes to the plate now, from now until the rest of time, he is now Mr. Relevant. They're going to be using this all season long, and I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either.
This is so nice of Will Smith to do this for us. I mean, the arrogance of the Dodgers. We already know that they are the greatest team to ever play baseball that can't win a championship in a full season. We already know that. They apparently don't know that. The Dodgers walk around like they have won the World Series the last 10 straight years.
Their
arrogance is if it wasn't so annoying, it would almost be a sight to behold the way they carry themselves. And Max Muncy, there's a reason we hate you. And now Will Smith, climb on right next to Max Muncy because we hate you too.
Wow.
But the thing is, we shouldn't. We should be pleased. Last year, the Padres gave the Dodgers a gift after that victory on the Friday night over Clayton Kershaw. We all remember what was posted up on the board.
Yes.
Don't need to keep going there.
No, that's in the past now.
It's in the past. It was a mistake, and the Padres paid for it handsomely for pretty much the rest of the season. This time, it's the Dodgers' turn. I can't believe they make a mistake like that. Will Smith says something that arrogant and that flippant. Not only about a guy that is a solid pro, but a guy that is having a phenomenal start to the season in Jurickson Profar.
He really is. He's making me look worse and worse, which is fine with me.
Well,
because before the year, I said, Jerickson Profar is not a guy who's going to help you win games every single day. Yeah. What has he been doing so far?
He's
helping them win games every single day.
Pretty much every single day. So, and he won the game yesterday. I mean, that ball missed by about a foot being a grand slam. And, you know, Jerickson handled this so well. He made it even worse for Will Smith by basically laughing it off and just basically saying, I don't even know.
He had the perfect response.
The perfect comeback by Jerickson Profar on all of this.
All of it.
And you know, Will Smith is basically left to eat his words. He didn't really have much he can say. So, you know what?
And you know who had the best view of that? Will Smith had the best view of that ball.
Oh, leaving the bat.
Towards it. I thought it was a grand slam. I think Jerickson Profar thought it was a grand slam.
Well, I said it missed by a foot.
Yeah, it missed by a foot.
It missed by a foot, but you know what? The Padres get the series win. There was a couple of things that happened over the weekend that were almost as important as winning two out of three. The bullpen, Friday night especially, six shutout innings from the beleaguered bullpen to help them come from behind and win that game. And then four shutout innings yesterday to win that one. The bullpen really did a nice job. Other than Cosgrove, Hiccup, and the three-run inning in Game 2 on Saturday, the bullpen was nearly letter-perfect for the weekend.
It was.
So, you know, that has been one of the areas that we're concerned about. But I'm glad to see the bullpen is starting to get it together now. Robert Suarez continues. You know what? He gets the win Friday night. He gets the save yesterday. And the guy is throwing all fastballs. That's all he throws. He hasn't thrown a breaking ball in a month. What is it, like 50 pitches?
Did he actually
mix one in yesterday?
A sinker, which Jesse and Tony were saying was a...
it was a hard sinker.
It's like a fraternal twin of the fastball.
Yeah.
So it counts.
Yeah, it seemed like it counted. Maybe they called a sinker on one, but Robert Suarez has been great. Matsui's setting up nicely. Anyway, look, if this bullpen gets it together, you know the starting rotation's going to be fine. They're going to have some games. Joe Musgrove's due, I think, for a real good one tonight in Milwaukee. I think enough now for No Joe to kind of get his feet wet into the season.
Yeah.
Go in there and shut down the Brew Crew. Pitch a good seven innings like he's, you know, more than capable of doing. And, you know, let's get over 500. I mean, honestly, the two out of three is fantastic. But in the big picture, 9-9 is not enough. You have to do a little better than this. But for now, we feel pretty good about it. And you lead the season series over a team that you haven't won the season series over in 13 years. So I'm really pleased with what happened this weekend.
I am really, too.
Really pleased. We said this on Friday, I believe. We're not right very often.
What did we say?
But when we are, I am to make mention of it.
Okay.
I told everybody to stop wasting their time worrying about Manny Machado. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Then he immediately steps up Friday night, home run.
Yep.
Hits another one yesterday? Or was it Saturday?
Yesterday.
Yeah. So Manny's starting to pick it up a little bit. Ha-Seong Kim hit a home run over the weekend. Jackson Merrill.
He is just
Are you kidding me?
Beast. If you're not a fan of Jackson Merrill, I don't know what's wrong with you. Because he does everything right.
Are you kidding me with that catch he made Friday night in center field, left center field, diving face first?
Face first into the dirt, giving up his body for that. Also, what about the hit in the 11th that we just heard when he shot it through the 5.5 hole? Like, 0-2?
He's doing it all. He's doing everything you could possibly ask of a rookie right now and then some.
Yes.
So Jackson Merrill, I know that, you know, around baseball they've already tried to hand out the Rookie of the Year award to four or five different guys in the National League. Forget about it. He's the rookie of the month of April, at least till now.
We talked about it last week, I think it was, when they ranked Paul Skeens, who hasn't even made his debut yet, over Jackson Merrill as a top five National League rookie. But we also said it's going to catch up with him when everybody knows who Jackson Merrill is. So as long as he's not in the spotlight, he can just focus on baseball right now.
Well, they're going to start making adjustments against him, and it'll be up to him to make adjustments to those adjustments. I mean, this is the way the game of baseball goes. So, but so far, it's not. I mean, the .333 batting average is good. He's got 18 hits. 15 of them are singles. But it's when he's getting the hits.
Yes.
You know, I mean, wasn't it yesterday? You get bases loaded, nobody out, and Camposano hits into a double play, and it looks like you're going to leave the inning still down a run.
Yep.
And he comes up with a two-out single to tie the game.
Yep.
And, you know, the hit on Friday night was obviously the one that stands out that won the game. But that hit yesterday was just as important
to
get them even 3-3. You know, this is what he's doing right now. He's almost like the last guy the opposition wants to see in a key situation. And when you're coming through in key situations, that tells me one major thing. And that is that you have a really steady and slow heart rate.
Yeah, right?
Because he knows it's a key situation.
He does.
But he's not acting like it's a key situation. The moment's not too big for him right now. And, man, I couldn't be happier to see what Jackson Merrill is doing and Jurickson Profar is doing. And it was a good weekend. And once again, thank you, Will Smith. I don't even, you know, like an apology wouldn't hurt. Will, but I don't expect to hear one from an arrogant team like the Dodgers. They're going to stand by this. It was just a stupid thing to say.
Number one, he's a 10-year vet. You can't call 10-year. I think someone broke it down. I don't remember who, but it's like 10% of Major League Baseball players make it to 10 years or something. So
it wasn't even an off-the-cuff remark. It was after
the game.
It was
calculated.
It seemed calculated. It really, truly did. And you know what? To see Manny Machado step up and say what he said after the game, which is, you got to put a little respect on this guy. And I'm going to call him Mr. Relevant now. You know, this is the kind of bonding that I didn't see last year. And I know that we're 2.5 weeks into the season. But the question, is this year different than last year? Right now has to be answered with a resounding yes.
Yes,
it is totally
I
different.
I'm out on last year. I'm in on this year.
I mean, the way they're winning games this year, the way they are playing and coming together already this short of a time into the season, you know, this is something we didn't see a whole lot of last year. Last year seemed like 25 players, 25 different taxi cabs. The old saying,
yeah.
Game's over, everybody spreads and goes their own direction.
Yeah, there's not much bonding, there's
this
not
year,
much friendship.
And I'm not saying there wasn't last year.
And it doesn't necessarily need to happen.
No, it doesn't. You don't have to love everybody you play with. But for 2.5, 3 hours, it doesn't hurt.
No.
And right now, it feels like there's one cab and all 25 guys are piling in.
And I don't want to do the whole Bob Melvin, Mike Schilt comparison, but Mike Schilt last night almost gets ejected from the game because Wandy Peralta was using special Shohei Ohtani baseballs, and Major League Baseball is falling all over themselves to make sure that those were out of the game. Wandy Peralta just wanted to throw the ball. Not to mention, this is a big spot in the game. He's trying to keep the lead at 3, and they're dealing with Shohei Ohtani baseballs.
Do we have to have a Shohei Ohtani baseball now for every at bat?
No, it's because he's gonna pass Hideki Matsuyama on his next home run. So every time he goes up to bat,
all right, we'll let him use those balls against other teams.
But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that Mike Schilt is fiery. He's going to stand up for his players, and he did it last night over something like that.
Love it, love it. I was trying to figure out what he was doing out there. And, of course, I don't keep the sound turned up too high. So I was just kind of left to wonder what he was arguing about. But thank you for filling me in.
You know, I will say that ESPN's broadcast, although not my favorite in the world, I listened to Tony and Jesse all last night.
Yeah, I can't deal with those guys on ESPN.
I will say, though, they did make several remarks to, I guess, Jurickson Profar is really relevant. So it didn't even just pass. It's not even for San Diego people.
Yeah.
This got into the Sunday Night Baseball
broadcast.
Yeah,
but 9 out of 10 times when they do a Padre game on Sunday Night Baseball, they sound like they've never seen the Padres play, and it drives me crazy.
That is true, too.
So
that is true, too.
You know, I mean, we understand the Dodgers are the showcase, and they're the reason that the game is on television. And the Padres are basically being treated as if they're the Washington Generals. I get it. But you know what? This is a little different season. And I'm loving the makeup of this team. Now we got to, you know, you got to get yourself over 500 and start piling up some wins here to go along with the good feelings that you have after taking 2 out of 3. And it's also the second consecutive series. If you go back to last year, they took 2 out of 3 in L.A., from the Dodgers to end last season. So that hasn't happened in, I don't think, 11 years.
Vibes on the chat. Everybody's saying vibes are at a high right now.
They're really high. They're really high right now. I'm trying not to let it run away with me, but at the same time, I'm enjoying it.
Enjoy it. But they are playing the Brewers tonight, and the Brewers are a good team.
Brewers have been good, but you catch a break. Like I said, Yelich is out of the lineup and has been for the last several days. Lineups are out, by the way, for the game tonight. And if you're wondering, Mr. Relevant is batting fifth again. and it's pretty much the same lineup as it's been all year long. Merrill jumping up to seven. Campusano in a little bit of a slump, hitting eighth. Tyler Wade, ninth today. That game could have turned into one of the most frustrating games in the history of baseball if it had gone the wrong way.
Yeah.
I mean, after all, Dodgers pitchers walked 14 batters, but Padres hitters grounded into four double plays. And it seemed like they grounded into a double play every time the bases were loaded.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or two men were on.
Yeah.
And it was like, are you going to be kidding me? This is going to be one of those games where they just keep filling the bases and we keep grounding into double plays. But you know what? Jurickson Profar wouldn't let it happen.
Nope.
He wouldn't let it happen. He made the difference with the big bomb in the seventh inning to
win
the
ballgame. Now, are we maybe a little upset that Jurickson Profar didn't make it to third?
On that?
Yeah, because I think he thought it was a home run. I don't know that he was running out of the box.
Oh, I don't know.
Are you going to get angry about that?
I'm not.
What about when Jose Azokar tried to steal third last night?
I've told you this before. Wait, what? It looks stupid. It looks like a bad play. But the Padres are going to run the bases aggressively this year. They're going to have some guys thrown out. And I'm going to stick with that. That's just how it's going to go. There was one out. If he gets the third, it's a great play. But he didn't, and he got thrown out. And I'll tell you what, on the replay, they could have overturned that. It was pretty, pretty close.
It was close.
The Padres challenged the call. It was very, very close. Like I said, they're going to lose some guys on the base pass. That's not a dumb play. He got caught. He got caught on that one. Good play by the pitcher, Vesia, to step off, not balk, make a calm, accurate throw to third. And then, you know, you got to leave it up to Muncy to put the tag on. I don't know that he ever did, but the Dodgers got the call on that one. The Padres got the series win. That's what matters the most. We are underway. It's a short get-together for this Monday. Lot going on in the sports world that we need to recap from the weekend, including the Masters. We'll touch on that. NBA playoffs are finally set. It seems like we can actually go back to paying some attention to the NBA now because they've gone through a season nobody cared about to finally get to the playoffs.
I know.
And if you care about basketball at all, what you probably care about more than all that is the WNBA draft is tonight. That has taken over the basketball landscape, so we'll touch on that. Gwen and Chris underway. Tony should be joining us from Milwaukee shortly. He's on his way to the stadium. Once he gets there, he'll be on with us. We'll be on with you until about 3:30 this afternoon on Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1-0. Bergson swings, hits it in the air to deep center field. Outman's racing back, straight back, still going back, at the wall, hits off the fence and rolls away. Bogarts has scored, Tatis on his way, Cronenworth being waved, Profar stops it second with a three-run double, and the Padres lead it 6-3.
So much for being irrelevant in this ball game.
Oh, that's right, Tony Gwynn Jr., Jurickson Profar with the big bomb yesterday, the big one to break it open. Padres over the Dodgers 6-3 to take the series up in L.A. Dodgers are still two games up in the National League West. But I said it on Friday, Scraby. I thought it was important that the Padres go up there and just tap the Dodgers on the shoulder. Let them know we're here.
Yeah.
Let them know we're here this year. You know, I mean, you may not care. You may be arrogant enough to pay no attention to us. But we're going to be around this year. And I think that was the message that was sent over the weekend. Mike Schilt said, quote, he's got his own opinions about relevancy. He can judge that all he wants. That's for him to do. And he's talking about Will Smith there.
Yes, yes, yes.
But says Schilt, I can tell you this, Profar is very relevant to us. You know, the thing, the way Schilt said this too, there's a little bit of an edge to it.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of like, you know what, I can't believe the guy had the audacity to say what he said, and it pissed me off. Schilt didn't say those words.
No.
But by the way he answered the question, that's what he was saying. Why are you laughing so much?
Because, I'm sorry, we have an engineer that is staring through the window at me and will not leave like I'm some zoo animal. But
well,
anyway.
That's good. That's good. That means you're relevant to the proceedings.
Oh, I like it. Relevancy.
That's good for you.
No, I like what Mike Schilt said, and I also like what Manny Machado said, and that was basically what you've been talking about.
Yeah, both of them. Both of them.
And you know what? It's not like, hey, this is about the Dodgers. This is about us believing that we can beat a good team. And that's what we got out of this weekend.
Well, that and you got the team now united against a common cause.
Exactly.
And that is a fantastic thing to have early in the season.
You rally around.
We may not see Will Smith for a while, but his words are going to echo throughout this ball club for a while. That is why Will Smith is so stupid to say what he did, but I'm glad he did it.
The word irrelevant is a very aggressive word. It's not a bad word, but
yeah,
it's an aggressive word.
I don't know. I think it's a pretty big put down. I mean, you're basically saying the guy hardly belongs in the big leagues.
We could
care less about Jerkson Profar. He is the last guy that we even think about. Well, all right, fine. Take that with you then on your way to your next series. Because he left a little mark on his way out of town.
It's on the wall in center field. If you were to use a different word, say he went like you when you said Max Muncy sucks. If you were to say Jerkson Profar sucks, I feel like that's less of a blow to the team because it's not as pointed as irrelevant. I just think that Will Smith did everyone a great job or a great favor.
Hey, Will,
by doing
if you're
that.
Watching the YouTube chat, and I'm sure you are,
he's really concerned with us.
Thank you very much.
Yes. And during the in-game interview, Jerkson Profar again handled it very well, said,
oh, he was
hey,
great.
It was on me. I did it wrong. I didn't understand
no,
the situation
but he was
correctly.
Great. Yeah, he was great. He was great. Jerkson, the thing is we loved Jerkson before all of this has happened.
Yeah.
Now we love him even more, and we're going to support him even more. But he's given us reason to love him and support him.
Absolutely.
And with that, Tommy Pham is now pretty much on his way. Talk about irrelevant. Tommy Pham is on his way to Chicago, it looks like, to join the White Sox.
Yeah.
Instead of going to the Padres where he would be in the middle of a season. Looks like Tommy Pham's just going to go play in anonymity with the worst team in baseball, the White Sox.
Well,
that hasn't 100% come down yet, by the way, but that is being widely reported.
Did you see what Mike Cameron, I think it was in the Friday sheet, but Mike Cameron tweeted out, you know, why is Tommy Pham not on a baseball team? And Tommy Pham tweeted back, they say I'm old, but my numbers don't tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what I'm getting from all this is that no one wants to pay him money to go and play for their team. So the White Sox were the last.
They're
going to pay him.
So there you go. All right. Good for Tommy Pham. He'll probably have a job soon. The Masters. There is a master of the Masters, and that's Scotty Scheffler.
Oh, can we talk about how boring this Masters was?
Well, you were anti-Masters going in.
Couldn't get into it.
So there was just no way you were going to get excited. But
I mean, the music.
Scotty Scheffler. I mean, watching greatness is still fun to watch. You're right. It wasn't close. It wasn't competitive. Scrape, I got to tell you, that approach shot that he hit on number 9 yesterday that bounced up on the hill behind the hole, and then as if it was magnetized, the ball started rolling toward the pin, backing up.
Yeah.
And then stopping an inch from the cup.
Yep.
That was the best shot I've seen in a while until the one he hit on 14, which landed to the left of the flag stick and again, like a magnet, took a sharp right turn and again rolled right to the flag.
Yep.
I don't know how those guys do this kind of stuff. It blows me away. Scheffler is easily the king of the sport right now. What I would like to see now, honestly, is I'd like to see Scheffler go to the LIV Tour.
Oh, Chris.
Hold on. Oh. You want something? Wait a second. Let me finish. He goes to the LIV Tour. The PGA is done.
That's the problem. I don't want the PGA to be done. Then we watch.
Priscello, Mr. Irrelevant to my left.
I called
you relevant before, but now you're making me mad.
What?
During the break.
What?
God, you're just making me mad, being you. Over there. Priscello, Matt Scraby. Tony Gwynn Jr. joins us from Milwaukee. He and the Padres have arrived. We'll take on the Brewers tonight. Tony Gwynn Jr., how are you? Did you sign the big thank you card that I'm assuming the Padres purchased and are now sending to Will Smith?
No, I didn't.
You didn't get in on that?
I didn't get in on that.
You didn't get in on that.
Yeah, how about that? Great win. Great series victory for the Pods, man.
It was. Everybody wants to talk about Will Smith. I know as a player, the Padres are going to pile it away and move on with their season. They've got a lot to do. They've got some, key games coming up here. You take the series, you've got a lot of baseball still to play. But I think anything that helps galvanize a team a little bit is a good thing. And whether Will Smith meant to do it or not, I think he gave the Padres a little ammunition, and it was nice to see how everybody's come together and supported Jerickson.
Yeah, no, and Jerickson handled it like a boss.
Yes, he
like
did.
A pro. Like, I'm not even going to address it. He didn't need to. His play spoke for him. And, I said this during the game yesterday, the chances are that it likely had nothing to do with the double and the comments from Dave Roberts about Manny being too close had nothing to do with the homer, but it certainly makes for a great story to tell, right? This is entertainment, right? And the thing that happens when you make those statements, more so the Will Smith one than Dave Roberts trying to get Manny from being behind the pitter.
Oh,
basically.
I noticed that myself on the last homestand. Manny does stand pretty close, I will say
he
that.
He does. And in his defense, Dodger Stadium is there's so much foul ground there that, you kind of want to get closer. I can't say that I haven't done the same thing. Now, maybe not as far, but certainly it was far enough to get Dr. Right. But more so Will Smith's comments. When you make comments like that, there is a piece of you like, man, I sure hope, man, he doesn't come up in a spot where he can make me look crazy. And unfortunately for Will Smith, he looks crazy on this. And maybe it's a lesson learned on his side. The actual incident is funny because, again, it really speaks to Jerickson's character. After the game when that happened, he was asked about it. And he said, initially I thought they were throwing at me. And then as I thought about it, I realized that's probably not what was happening. But by then, tempers have already flared, and you can't really take it back at that point. So you got to stand on it at that point. But for him to tell you that at the end of the game, again, it speaks to his character. When all that went down, he got the last laugh. Did he dance on the grave? Nah, he didn't need to. His game spoke for him. And it makes you cheer. It makes you get closer to a player like that when you start to see some of those elements aside from what he's doing on the field. But all in all, great 2 out of 3 victories for the Padres. The bullpen was phenomenal in those 2 victories.
I'm glad you noticed, man. 10 shutout innings combined in those 2 games. That wins both of those games. I know Profar and Merrill get the headlines, but bullpen won those 2 games. So
bullpen won those 2 games. And you're starting to see the picture develop in terms of who's going to pitch where and how it's going to happen. You're starting to see some of the same characters in some of the same spots. And so that was a well-played series, I thought. I mean, the Padres didn't even play their best baseball. I mean, they booted the ball a couple times. They left opportunities out there. But at the end of the day, this is about W's and L's. And you want to have way more W's than you do L's. A series like that is, I thought it really showed the Padres well. They showed well.
Some of the fans on the chat, Tony, are asking when you guys got in and if the team is going to be okay without that rest.
I mean, it is what it is. The schedule is the schedule. So whether you're okay or not, you better figure out a way to do it for 9 innings. That's just how this thing goes. We got in at about, I say we probably got to the Pfister at about 4:30 a.m.
Oh,
and then by the time everybody, you know, some guys.
And then,
they don't,
and then by the time you had to carry your own bags up to the room.
Oh, no.
That was probably a difficult.
Well, you got to wait for the bags to arrive first because the players get on the bus. We all get on the bus and our bags aren't following us just yet. So you get to the hotel, you got to wait for your bags. Some guys will just say, you know, forget it. I'm going to sleep. I'll come get my bag in the morning.
Uh-huh.
I like to have my stuff, so I waited. Went down, grabbed my bag, came back up. By the time I laid my head on the pillow to go to sleep, it was 5:06. Yeah. So.
All right. I was awake at that time. I should have sent
you
a note.
Flying all night.
I should have sent you a note. I definitely sent a text to you guys around the time I was laying my head down. So
yes, you did. We appreciate that.
It definitely was a long night, but it was worth it for sure.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Scrib.
No,
please.
I have one more thing because you said the Pfister, and this is a very popular chat item right now. Have you ever seen
the haunted house?
Have you ever seen a ghost at this hotel? Are you afraid of staying there?
I'm definitely not. If you guys remember, I started my career here. So when you get called to the big leagues, you don't have a place to stay, you stay at the Pfister. And so the Pfister was like my home here for like the first couple years.
Okay.
I was in Milwaukee.
Is that the hotel that's supposed to be haunted?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I've never stayed on the wing that is supposedly haunted.
Ooh,
you know, some players. No, I don't got you. What kind of craziness is that? I'm not walking into to craziness. It's ridiculous. I think you got some players who will tell you to your face that they have seen something or something has been done to them, and then other players just like, this is all, you know, fugazi.
I know Mookie Betts doesn't even stay there, right? He goes somewhere
There's
else.
There's some players that don't stay there for sure.
Huh.
I mean, it's an older hotel, you know. Some of these guys a little bougie. They like to have their amenities. To each his own.
Heart-shaped hot tub in the room.
whatever that may be. Whatever that
matters.
May be.
It all adds up in the course of a long season. Fernando Tatis Jr. Leads the Padres right now in the all-important WAR statistic at 0.8. It's early in the season. Second place, Jackson Merrill, 0.7. Second on the Padres. Tony, speak to what this guy is. It's not even the 333 batting average and 18 hits already. It is when he's getting these hits that is really impressive. And he had a huge one Friday night, had another big one to tie the game yesterday. This guy is, he's putting himself way up there, and he's going to have a lot to keep living up to.
That boy good.
Yeah, I think you said that.
That boy is good.
Yeah.
That boy is real good.
Yeah.
Listen, he's as cool as the other side of the pillow, as the great Stuart Scott used to say. Where's that Dan Patrick? I can't remember.
No, it was Stuart Scott.
It was Stuart Scott. Okay,
yes, it was, yeah.
I just think he's got something. You know what I'm saying? Like nothing. It's not as easy to spot as it is for Toddy. But when you watch him play, he just has something. There's something about the kid. He understands the game. He loves the game. He talks the game. Like he's a baseball dude. I don't know that we have a guy like that. Maybe Jake is probably the other one, but I mean, just all he wants to do is baseball, right? And so when you see him get up in those spots, he don't look rattled. There's no high pulse. He's just out there playing the game that he loves. And, you know, I know it's in everybody's this natural tendency just to, like, jump through the roof because he's off to such a great start. And I think that's good for him and his confidence. I just want to see him just keep doing the same thing he's doing. I hope he's tuning out the noise and just going out there and continuing to play the game the way he does, because it is a lot of fun to watch him go up there. And even when he takes like a weird swing or swings at a pitch that's out of the zone, he makes the correction so fast, which is just, you know, so unusual for a guy his age.
He's going to be the National League Rookie of the Month if he keeps this up. But until then, Leno, let's hope everybody continues to sleep on Jackson Merrill. All right, Tony's got to run down, I think, right?
Yes.
Say hi to go
yes.
see Mike Shildt. Get ready for the broadcast. The game is only an hour and a half or so away.
I'm going to try to get back up here and catch
good.
You guys before you go off the air.
Good deal.
Right,
we'll be on a
good.
Short
Thank
show
you,
today. Tony is there in Milwaukee.
He's off.
And yes, he's on his way now. I'll go see Mike Shildt. The pregame conversation will carry with you until 3:30. Scraby brought this out to my attention, and I did not know. The Padres, in the history of the Padres, have only walked 14 times in a game twice now.
Yeah.
And the only other time was in a 19-inning game.
So you basically, two games right there.
I mean, so it took 19 innings for them to walk 14 times. That was a game in 1979. So that's...
I didn't get a chance to say this earlier.
40-some-odd years ago. And I did mention that. If they would have lost that game yesterday, that would have hurt.
That's the thing.
To get that many walks and not win.
I hate that they had so many guys on. Like, I'm going to accept the win and the series win. It's all good. Not every game's going to be fake. But there is a lot of, what do they call them, lobs left on base. Isn't that what they call it?
L-O-B?
Lob?
Well,
left on base?
It's okay. Look, I mean, you can't go 4-for-4 with runners in scoring position every game.
You can't.
They're doing much better in that category.
Yes.
And if you load the bases enough, eventually a ball's going to find a hole somewhere. And it finally did yesterday. It was getting annoying after a while. Because, I mean, Cronenworth's hitting hard ground ball, double play. Camposano's hitting it on the, you know, the button, double play. I mean, it happened four times, twice to each guy yesterday. Camposano almost hit one out, got caught at the left field wall. So he's in a little bit of a skid right now. I think 3 for his last 27. But it doesn't mean he's not hitting the ball hard. I mean, he's making good contact. You're going to go through stretches like this all season. Every single player is going to do it. But look, I mean, this is a big thing for them to get 2 out of 3 in L.A. It doesn't change the whole complexion of the NL West, but I think it, you know, the Dodgers have to at least know the Padres are there. And that's what I wanted to accomplish this weekend. And thanks to Will Smith, the Padres get something, a bonus, to take with them.
And Matt Waldron pitched well, and the defense played over the weekend.
The defense has not been great statistically yet. I don't know if you saw
this.
Some
of the plays that they had were pretty incredible. Some of the plays that Jake had at first last night were pretty incredible.
Yeah, they made some great plays, but they're not making a lot of routine plays right now. I think the Padres, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Padres are leading baseball in errors right now. That's not... not a great thing.
So, no, that's definitely not a great thing.
Let's clean that up.
Ha-Sung
here a
Kim
bit.
Has had a tough start to the year.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what we want to say about it, it's been a tough start to the year. At the plate, he's warming up.
He's having a tough start to the year, but here's the thing: if you got a roster of 26 guys, you're going to have a couple of guys that are going to be struggling the first 2.5 weeks of the season. And guess what? The next 2.5 weeks of the season, somebody else will be struggling, and Ha-Sung Kim will get it going. I'm not really worried about him right now.
Defensively, are you worried? Because he's made some pretty big defensive errors this year.
Padres, 13 errors. That leads the National League.
Still all right,
the
not
Yankees.
Good place.
The Yankees are having a great season. Have already made 16. So they've made more than the Padres. Errors can be a little misleading from time to time, but I just wanted to point that out. Defensively, the Padres have not been letter perfect yet, and they're coughing up some unearned runs. And Mike Shildt even said so today. Said we got to stop giving away freebies. They've given up 81 free bases on 67 walks and 14 hit batters.
That's a lot.
That's too many.
That's too many.
You can't give away free. Yeah, yesterday they got the benefit of the Dodgers being wild and all over the place.
Yeah.
But you can't be putting runners on and then making errors and expect you're going to get out of those jams time and time again. So, you know, there's some things out there that if the record was 7-11 right now, we'd be complaining about vehemently. But the fact of the matter is, they're 9-9, and they just beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3, so we're okay with all that. Brewers are 10-4.
The Brewers are a good team.
So, they're off to a good start. Now, they've scored 91 runs.
They have a plus 31 run differential.
Plus 31 is right. The only teams that are better than that, believe it or not, the Royals and the Guardians.
The Royals are turning some heads right now.
A little bit. They've won 8 of their last 10.
You got Vinny Pasquantino on your fantasy team. He's been pretty good.
I think he hit a home run over the weekend. I'm not ready to put him in the Hall of Fame yet. But
of course, Chris.
It was a good start.
Chris, you know? Well, let me just tell everyone in fantasy baseball, Chris won 10-0, which is like he won every single category that we measure. And he's trying to be humble about it. And I'm just like, you know what?
brag a little bit. You went 10-0 over one of our dear listeners, Brandon, who was at the Scrabinator night.
The only thing that would have been better about going 10-0 this week
beating me
would have been to do it against you.
I know.
So the fact that it wasn't against you, I'm not going to go crazy over that. Padres, Brewers, then the Blue Jays come in here, by the way, over the weekend. If you're looking ahead, the Blue Jays are off to an 8-8 start. They'll be coming in over the weekend. But first, it's Milwaukee, Joe Musgrove tonight. By the way, Scraby, when did your heart finally start after Friday's Joe Musgrove prank that he pulled on you? And I got to be honest, my wife watched it. She was dying with laughter on the YouTube. If you haven't seen that clip yet or heard Joe Musgrove pranking Scraby Friday afternoon, you've got to find a way to get to see that. Where is
that? You can go to my Instagram, at Matt Scraby. Okay. It's right there. You can also go to 97.3 The Fantasy, but it's kind of buried from all the weekend stuff. When did my heart start again? When we got done with the show and I was able to sit there and kind of think, man, he got me good.
Yeah,
'cause I was like thinking, oh man, did I knock over someone something? Did I run into someone? But that was good. And we have to give props to Joe's mom, because Joe Musgrove's mom,
she was the one who recommended
that he
do something like that. You're very mischievous, Mrs. Musgrove.
It worked. It
yes.
worked.
If you missed it, by the way, I don't want to tell you everything, but Scraby had gone down to the game on, I believe it was last Wednesday, and he'd been in the locker room, and he had told us that, you know, he saw Joe Musgrove and didn't go over and say hello.
I was too nervous.
And Tony and I were giving him a hard time. Well, Joe Musgrove basically said that the rest of the clubhouse was aware of Scraby and the fact that he seemed very, very aloof and unfriendly, and that the people on the team were mad at him for acting that way.
I'm getting like goosebumps thinking about Scraby,
the look on Scraby's face and my face, because I looked over at you and I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, pay attention to Tony's face in this video. He couldn't be having more fun.
He was in on the whole thing.
He couldn't have been having more fun.
Check out that video. And tonight is Joe's first start since that prank, so I expect him to pitch well. We will be heading to the pregame show in about a half an hour. Stick around for more Gwynn and Chris.
Scrabinator night. Since then, they're 3-1, baby.
Since the Scrabinator night.
Yeah.
That's right. Turn the season, Scrabe. Good
did.
For you.
Thanks, Chris.
Wrapping things up here very quickly today. Sammy Leavitt, not only has the Padre pregame show coming up in about a half an hour, but you can listen to Sam's podcast. It's called Inside San Diego Baseball. Sam will cover everything going on with the Padres. You can find it at 97.3thefansd.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you download that Odyssey app. It gives you the ability to listen to any segment of the Gwynn and Chris program.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Costello, Mr. Irrelevant to my left.
I'll take it.
You relevant before, but now you're making me mad.
What?
During the break.
What?
God, you're just making me mad, being you. Over there. Costello, Matt Scraby. Tony Gwynn Jr. joins us from Milwaukee. He and the Padres have arrived. We'll take on the Brewers tonight. Tony Gwynn Jr., how are you? Did you sign the big thank you card that I'm assuming the Padres purchased and are now sending to Will Smith?
No, I didn't.
You didn't get in on that?
I didn't get in on that.
You didn't get in on that.
Yeah, how about that? Great win. Great series victory for the Pods, man.
It was. Everybody wants to talk about Will Smith. I know as a player, the Padres are going to pile it away and move on with their season. They've got a lot to do. They've got some, you know, key games coming up here. You take the series, you've got a lot of baseball still to play. But I think anything that helps galvanize a team a little bit is a good thing. And whether Will Smith meant to do it or not, You know, I think he gave the Padres a little ammunition, and it was nice to see how everybody's come together in support of Jerkson.
Yeah, no, you know, and Jerkson handled it like a boss.
Yes, he
like
did.
A pro. Like, you know, I'm not even going to address it. He didn't need to. His play spoke for him. And, you know, I said this during the game yesterday, you know, the chances are that it likely had nothing to do with the double had and the comments from Dave Roberts about Manny being too close had nothing to do with the homer, but it certainly makes for a great story to tell, right? This is part of this is entertainment, right? And you know the thing that happens when you make those statements, more so the Will Smith one than, you know, Dave Roberts trying to get Manny from being behind the pitter.
Oh,
basically.
I noticed that myself on the last homestand. Manny does stand pretty close. I will say
he
that.
He does. And in his defense, Dodger Stadium is there's so much foul ground there that, you know, you kind of want to get closer. I can't say that I haven't done the same thing. Now, maybe not as far, but certainly it was far enough to get Dr. Right. But more so Will Smith's comments. When you make comments like that, there is a piece of you like, man, I sure hope, man, he doesn't come up in a spot where he can make me look crazy. And unfortunately for Will Smith, he looks crazy on this. And maybe it's a lesson learned on his side. The actual incident is funny because, again, it really speaks to Jerickson's character. After the game when that happened, he was asked about it. And he said, you know, initially I thought they were throwing at me. And then as I thought about it, I realized that's probably not what was happening. But by then, you know, tempers have already flared and you can't really take it back at that point. So you got to stand on it at that point. And but for him to tell you that at the end of the game, again, it speaks to his character. When all that went down, he got the last laugh. Did he dance on the grave? Nah, he didn't need to. His game spoke for him. And it makes you cheer. It makes you get closer to a player like that when you start to see some of those elements aside from what he's doing on the field. But all in all, great 2 out of 3 victories for the Padres. The bullpen was phenomenal in those 2 victories.
I'm glad you noticed, man. 10 yeah. shutout innings combined in those 2 games. That wins both of those games. I know Profar and Merrill get the headlines, but bullpen won those 2 games. So
bullpen won those 2 games. And you're starting to see the picture develop in terms of who's going to pitch where and how it's going to happen. You're starting to see some of the same characters in some of the same spots. And so that was a well played series. I thought. I mean, the Padres didn't even play their best baseball. I mean, they booted the ball a couple times. They left opportunities out there. But at the end of the day, this is about W's and L's. And you want to have way more W's than you do L's. A series like that is, I thought it really showed the Padres well. They showed well.
Some of the fans on the chat, Tony, are asking when you guys got in and if the team is going to be okay without that rest.
I mean, it is what it is. The schedule is the schedule. So whether you're okay or not, you better figure out a way to do it for 9 innings. That's just how this thing goes. We got in at about... I say we probably got to the Pfister at about 4:30 a.m.
Oh,
and then by the time everybody, you know, some guys,
and then,
they don't,
and then by the time you had to carry your own bags up to the room.
Oh no,
that was probably a difficult.
Well, you got to wait for the bags to arrive first because the players get on the bus. We all get on the bus, and our bags aren't following us just yet. So you get to the hotel, you got to wait for your bags. Some guys will just say, you know, forget it. I'm going to sleep. I'll come get my bag in the morning.
Uh-huh.
I like to have my stuff, so I waited, went down, grabbed my bag, came back up. By the time I laid my head on the pillow to go to sleep, it was 5:06. Yeah. So,
all right. I was awake at that time. I should have sent
you
a note.
Flying all night.
I definitely sent a text to you guys around the time
yes,
I was laying my head down. So
yes, you did. We appreciated that.
It definitely was a long night, but it was worth it for sure.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Scrib.
No,
please.
I have one more thing because you said the Pfister, and this is a very popular chat item right now. Have you ever seen
the haunted house?
Have you ever seen a ghost at this hotel? Are you afraid of staying there?
I'm definitely not. If you guys remember, I started my career here. So when you get called to the big leagues, you don't have a place to stay. You stay at the Pfister. And so the Pfister was like my home here for like the first couple years.
Okay.
I was in Milwaukee.
Is that the hotel that's supposed to be haunted?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I've never stayed on the wing that is supposedly haunted.
Ooh,
you know, some players,
you got to.
No, I don't got to. What kind of craziness is that? I'm not walking into to craziness. It's ridiculous. I think you got some players who will tell you to your face that they have seen something or something has been done to them. And then other players just like, this is all, you know, fugazi.
I know Mookie Betts doesn't even stay there, right? He goes somewhere
else. There's some players that don't stay there for sure. Huh. I mean, it's an older hotel, you know. Some of these guys, a little bougie. They like to have their amenities. to each his own.
Heart-shaped hot tub in the room.
whatever that may be. Whatever that
matters.
May be.
It all adds up in the course of a long season. Fernando Tatis Jr. Leads the Padres right now in the all-important war statistic at 0.8. It's early in the season. Second place, Jackson Merrill, 0.7. Second on the Padres. Tony, speak to what this guy is. It's not even the 333 batting average and 18 hits already. It is when he's getting these hits that is really impressive. And he had a huge one Friday night, had another big one to tie the game yesterday. This guy is, he's putting himself way up there, and he's going to have a lot to keep living up to.
That boy good.
Yeah, I think you said
that. That boy is good.
Yeah.
That boy is real good.
Yeah.
Listen, he's as cool as the other side of the pillow, as the great Stuart Scott used to say. Was that Dan Patrick? I can't remember.
No, it was Stuart Scott.
Yeah.
It was Stuart Scott.
Okay,
yes,
yeah.
It was, yeah.
I think he's got something. You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing. It's not as easy to spot as it is for Toddy, but when you watch him play, he just has something. There's something about the kid. He understands the game. He loves the game. He talks the game. Like, he's a baseball dude. I don't know that we have a guy like that. Maybe Jake is probably the other one, but I mean, just all he wants to do is baseball, right? And so when you see him get up in those spots, he don't look rattled. There's no high pulse. He's just out there playing the game that he loves. And I know it's in everybody's this natural tendency just to like jump through the roof because he's off to such a great start. And I think that's good for him and his confidence. I just want to see him just keep doing the same thing he's doing. I hope he's tuning out the noise and just going out there and continuing to play the game the way he does, because it is a lot of fun to watch him go up there. And even when he takes like a weird swing or swings at a pitch that's out of the zone, he makes the correction so fast, which is just, you know, so unusual for a guy his age.
He's going to be the National League Rookie of the Month if he keeps this up. But until then, Leno, let's hope everybody continues to sleep on Jackson Merrill. All right, Tony's got to run down, I think, right?
Yes.
Say hi to go
yes.
see Mike Schilt. Get ready for the broadcast. The game is only an hour and a half or so away.
I'm going to try to get back up here and catch you guys before you go off the air.
Good deal.
All right,
we'll be on a
good.
Short
Thank
show
you, Tony.
Today. Tony is there in Milwaukee.
He's off.
And, yes, he's on his way now. Go see Mike Schilt. A pregame conversation will carry with you until 3:30. Scraby brought this out to my attention, and I did not know. The Padres, in the history of the Padres, have only walked 14 times in a game twice now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The only other time was in a 19-inning game.
So you basically two games right there.
I mean, so it took 19 innings for them to walk 14 times. That was a game in 1979. So that's...
I didn't get a chance to say this earlier.
40-some-odd years ago. And I did mention that. If they would have lost that game yesterday, that would have hurt.
That's the thing.
To get that many walks and not win.
I hate that they had so many guys on... Like, I'm going to accept the win and the series win. It's all good. Not every game's going to be fake. But there is a lot of... what do they call them? Lobs left on base. Isn't that what they call it?
L-O-B?
Lob?
Well,
left on base?
It's okay. Look, I mean, you can't go 4-for-4 with runners
no,
in scoring position
can't.
Every game.
You can't.
They're doing much better in that category.
Yes.
And if you load the bases enough, eventually a ball's going to find a hole somewhere. And it finally did yesterday. It was getting annoying after a while. Because, I mean, Cronenworth's hitting hard ground ball, double play. Campusano's hitting it on the button, double play. I mean, it happened four times, twice to each guy yesterday. Campusano almost hit one out, got caught at the left field wall. So he's in a little bit of a skid right now. I think three for his last 27. But it doesn't mean he's not hitting the ball hard. I mean, he's making good contact. You're going to go through stretches like this all season. Every single player is going to do it. But look, I mean, this is a big thing for them to get two out of three in L.A. It doesn't change the whole complexion of the NL West, but I think it, you know, the Dodgers have to at least know the Padres are there. And that's what I wanted to accomplish this weekend. And thanks to Will Smith, the Padres get something, a bonus, to take with them.
And Matt Waldron pitched well, and the defense played over the weekend.
The defense has not been great statistically yet. I don't know if you saw
this.
Some
of the plays that they had were pretty incredible. Some of the plays that Jake had at first last night were pretty incredible.
Yeah, they made some great plays, but they're not making a lot of routine plays right now. I think the Padres, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Padres are leading baseball in errors right now. That's not a great thing.
So, no, that's definitely not a great thing.
Let's clean that up
here a little
bit. Ha-Sung
Kim has had a tough start to the year. No matter what we want to say about it, it's been a tough start to the year. At the plate, he's warming up.
He's having a tough start to the year, but here's the thing. If you got a roster of 26 guys, you're going to have a couple of guys that are going to be struggling the first 2.5 weeks of the season. And guess what? The next 2.5 weeks of the season, somebody else will be struggling, and Ha-Sung Kim will get it going. I'm not really worried about him right now.
Defensively, are you worried? Because he's made some pretty big defensive errors this year.
Padres, 13 errors. That leads the National League.
All right,
the Yankees are having a great season, have already made 16. So they've made more than the Padres. Errors can be a little misleading from time to time, but I just wanted to point that out. Defensively, the Padres have not been letter perfect yet, and they're coughing up some unearned runs. And Mike Schilt even said so today. He said, we got to stop giving away freebies. They've given up 81 free bases on 67 walks and 14 hit batters.
That's a lot.
That's too many.
That's too many.
You can't give away free. Yeah, yesterday they got the benefit of the Dodgers being wild and all over the place.
Yeah.
But you can't be putting runners on and then making errors and expect you're going to get out of those jams time and time again. So, you know, there's some things out there that if the record was 7-11 right now, we'd be complaining about vehemently. But the fact of the matter is, they're 9-9, and they just beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3. So we're okay with all that. Brewers are 10-4.
Brewers are a good team.
So they're off to a good start. Now they've scored 91 runs.
They have +31 run differential.
+31 is right. The only teams that are better than that, believe it or not, the Royals and the Guardians.
The Royals are turning some heads right now.
A little bit. They've won 8 of their last 10.
You got Vinny Pasquantino on your fantasy team. He's been pretty good.
I think he hit a home run over the weekend. I'm not ready to put him in the Hall of Fame yet. But
of course, Chris.
It was a good start.
Chris, okay, let me just tell everyone in fantasy baseball, Chris won 10-0, which is like he won every single category that we measure. And he's trying to be humble about it. And I'm just like, you know what? Brag a little bit. You went 10-0 over one of our dear listeners, Brandon, who was at the Scrabinator night.
The only thing that would have been better about going 10-0 this week
beating me
would have been to do it against you.
I know.
So the fact that it wasn't against you, I'm not going to go crazy over that. Padres, Brewers, then the Blue Jays come in here, by the way, over the weekend. If you're looking ahead, the Blue Jays are off to an 8-8 start. They'll be coming in over the weekend. But first, it's Milwaukee, Joe Musgrove tonight. By the way, Scraby, when did your heart finally start after Friday's Joe Musgrove prank that he pulled on you? And I got to be honest, my wife watched it. She was dying with laughter on the YouTube. If you haven't seen that clip yet or heard Joe Musgrove pranking Scraby Friday afternoon, you've got to find a way to get to see that. Where is that?
You can go to my Instagram, at Matt Scraby. Okay. It's right there. You can also go to 97.3 The Fantasy, but it's kind of buried from all the weekend stuff. When did my heart start again? When we got done with the show and I was able to sit there and kind of think, man, he got me good. Because I was like thinking, oh man, did I knock over someone something? Did I run into someone? But that was good. And we have to give props to Joe's mom, because Joe Musgrove's mom,
she was the one who recommended that he do something like that. You're very mischievous, Mrs. Musgrove.
It worked.
If you missed it, by the way, I don't want to tell you everything, but Scraby had gone down to the game on, I believe it was last Wednesday. And he'd been in the locker room, and he had told us that, you know, he saw Joe Musgrove and didn't go over and say hello.
I was too nervous.
And Tony and I were giving him a hard time. Well, Joe Musgrove basically said that the rest of the clubhouse was aware of Scraby and the fact that he seemed very, very aloof and unfriendly, and that the people on the team were mad at him for acting that way.
I'm getting like goosebumps thinking about Scraby,
the look on Scraby's face and my face, because I looked over at you and I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, pay attention to Tony's face in this video. He couldn't be having more fun.
He was in on the whole thing.
He couldn't be having more fun.
Check out that video. And tonight is Joe's first start since that prank, so I expect him to pitch well. We will be heading to the pregame show in about a half an hour. Stick around for more Gwynn and Chris.
Scrabinator night. Since then, they're 3-1, baby.
Since the Scrabinator night.
Yeah. That's right.
Turn the season, Scrab. Good for you.
Thanks, Chris.
Wrapping things up here very quickly today. Sammy Leavitt, not only has the Padre pregame show coming up in about a half an hour, but you can listen to Sam's podcast. It's called Inside San Diego Baseball. Sam will cover everything going on with the Padres. You can find it at 973thefansd.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you download that Odyssey app. It gives you the ability to listen to any segment of the Gwynn and Chris program whenever you'd like to listen to it.
And you got to follow the app, because then you get notifications when Mike Schilt's on with Bennett Woods, when a player's on with us for Fire Friday.
Joe Musgrove was on last Friday, if you missed that interview, and the pranking of Matt Scraby. You can find that on the Odyssey app. Or
I don't think that's ever going to be not scary.
973thefansd.com. Joe Musgrove.
I'll stop talking about it. But
funny guy.
I did think about it quite a bit over the
weekend. He gotcha. And we were very happy about that. Now he's got to get the Brewers tonight. Game one of the three-game series in Milwaukee with Joe Ross, former Padre, if I'm not mistaken, right-hander.
No, it's Tyson Ross's brother,
yes,
I believe.
And he never pitched for the Padres?
I think Tyson Ross pitched.
No, I know Tyson Ross did. I know Tyson Ross, but I thought Joe Ross also pitched for the Padres.
Let me see here.
It wouldn't be the first time that I'm mistaken, and as it turns out, it is first time I'm mistaken.
It's only been a National.
Yeah, National and now a Brewer. So not former Padre Joe Ross will pitch tonight for the Brew Crew. All right. He was drafted. Here we go. He was drafted by the Padres.
Oh, it was Joe Ross was. Trey Turner.
He was an original draft choice of the Padres, so that's where
I gotta say some of these.
That's where I might have made an error.
I gotta say some of these fans are pretty on top of their trade memories, because we mentioned who did that person go to, and then it's like boom, we got the answer for you.
Yeah, they're ready over there in the chat. They don't miss very much. We get into a little NBA stuff. The Lakers will open things up tomorrow night in New Orleans.
Ooh.
They'll take on the Pelicans. I wanted to talk about this with Tony, but we didn't have him very long today. The Lakers, if they win that game tomorrow night, the first play-in game, they would then get the 7 seed. And that means they would have to match up with their kryptonite, the Denver Nuggets, in the first round of the playoffs. What the Lakers really need to do is lose tomorrow night and then win the following game and get into the playoffs as an 8 seed. If they do that, they would then face the Oklahoma City Thunder, who don't have anywhere near the experience, as the defending champion Nuggets. So it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. I know the Lakers aren't going to try to throw the game tomorrow, but if they lose, it might not be the worst thing that happens. Just throwing that out there for Laker fans.
The NBA has made it too complicated. I'm sorry.
It's pretty complicated, but understand that the winner of the game tomorrow night between the Lakers and New Orleans is then the 7 seed. And they have to play Denver. Whereas whoever else qualifies will be the 8 seed. And would have to play Oklahoma City. So I'm trying to simplify it
for you. You are, but see, you shouldn't have to do that for a playoff scenario.
Well, it's a little more confusing. As a matter of fact, nobody less than LeBron James himself said that the play-in tournament is like the whoever came up with that ought to be fired immediately.
What?
He said that
they won it.
He said that 4 years ago. He's not talking about No, that's the in-season tournament. This is the play-in tournament.
See? Confusing.
But without the play-in tournament, the Lakers would not have made the Western Conference Finals last year, and they would not be in the playoffs this year. So LeBron complaining, but it's all working out nicely for the Lake Show. Day off in the NBA tonight. The WNBA draft is this evening. Caitlin Clark will be the first pick. If you missed her appearance on Saturday Night Live.
Hilarious.
She was very funny.
Don't lie, Chris.
I'm giving her the credit of reading the cue cards that were very well written, reading them well. They were funny. I didn't think she was I don't think acting is in her future.
No, she's a basketball player.
She did a nice job, and it was a pretty funny bit during the weekend update news segment.
I thought it was
Caitlin Clark.
They did a thing where Michael Che, I don't watch much Saturday Night Live at all, but Michael Che did this thing where they went back in time and found all of him talking bad about the WNBA and women's basketball.
Yes.
And then they had Caitlin Clark sitting there. It was pretty good, I gotta say.
The fact that Michael Che, who's one of the anchors of the weekend update, even takes the time to make fun of the WNBA.
That's true.
Women's college basketball. Yep. Tells you just how far women's college basketball has come.
Absolutely.
They wouldn't have wasted their time with a women's college basketball joke 6 months ago.
No, that's a really good point.
So
he said 14.2 million people watched the national championship. That's 14.2 million people more than last year watched the national championship.
Like I don't think that's exactly how the joke went, but it was similar to that.
It was good.
Caitlin Clark got him back pretty good. And if you want to see a funny bit, you can find that, I'm sure, anywhere. YouTube or whatnot. But Caitlin Clark will be the number one pick tonight, and I think people are going to be tuned in. People like care about the WNBA draft more than the NBA draft, or maybe even the NFL draft for that matter. When is the NFL draft, Scrape?
We have a meeting on Wednesday.
10 days from now.
Yeah.
NFL draft. I'm going to start preparing minutes before the show starts.
My research that I was going pretty strong on there for a little bit has taken a little bit of a dip since the baseball season started, so I need to get back into that.
You're not paying attention to the NFL draft the way you were supposed to be.
Well, I'm paying attention. I'm just not doing my research right now.
We had some winners and losers over the weekend. Let's touch on that with today's Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit's our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. The more I read about Ipe, the more I realize that he did not gamble responsibly.
Not too responsible.
Maybe the most irresponsible gambling you can do. If you would like, or actually, Chris, we got to say this real quick because the Padres have made a signing. They have signed to a minor league deal Donovan Solano.
Okay.
Infielder.
Former Giant.
Yeah.
I remember Donovan Solano.
Yes, he's going to report to Arizona. He is 36. He's played 820 games for five different teams, but he has been signed to a minor league deal. So we'll deal with that as it comes. Now, the bets that we made on Friday went like this. Lakers were 15-point favorites over the Memphis Grizzlies. Chris chose Memphis. Tony and I chose the Lakers. And the Lakers won the game 123, but they didn't win by enough. 120 on the Memphis side. Chris, you win. That was a weird way for me to explain that.
Really, really poorly done.
But you win. That's all that matters is that you win.
Okay.
Golden State, 4-point favorites over the Pelicans on Friday night. All of us chose the Pelicans. The Pelicans won the game outright, 114-109, so we win that bet. Phoenix Suns, -4.5 at Sacramento. Chris and Tony chose Phoenix. I chose Sacramento. And the Suns won the game, but they only won 108-107, so I win that one. And then UC Irvine, -1.5 on the run line at UCSD over the weekend. You chose the UCSD Tritons, Chris. Tony and I chose Irvine, and Irvine won big, 15-4.
Yes, but the Tritons won 2 out of 3 in the series.
Okay, very
good for them.
Very nice.
Good job, Tritons.
Good job, Tritons.
Yeah.
You shut down that anteater, the bat on its nose. I got a few people said that was a great joke, Chris. Yamamoto, over, under 4.5 Ks.
There was a joke in there somewhere?
Remember when I said that I picked the anteater because it had a nose that looked like a bat? Anyway.
No, I tried to forget that.
A lot of people, other people did too.
Okay.
Yamamoto, over, under 4.5 Ks on Friday night. We all went over, and he did go over, but he only went over by 1.5. He had 6, which means that the Padres did a good job against him.
All right.
Now, a reminder to stay tuned for the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show with Sam Levitt. It's next on 97.3 The Fan at 3:40. That will be taking the air. Now, here are some Caitlin Clark bets, Chris, that I found out there. And so their first game is going to be May 14th. I'm just assuming she's going to play for the Fever, who has the number one overall pick right now.
Yes, everybody not only assumes she's going to play for the Fever, she is going to play for them.
Yeah, yeah. She is going to play for them. They won't even let you bet on her anymore. Is she going to lead the Indiana Fever in scoring this year, Chris?
The whole year?
The whole year.
I have to check out the Fever's roster.
Well, I can tell you that -280 is the odds, or really? Odds on that right now.
So they're saying pretty good odds that she'll do it.
What about her first basket in the WNBA to be a made three-pointer?
Logo three.
I think that's a pretty good bet right there. She shoots a lot of threes.
Yes, she does. It's going to take them a while to figure out how far out from the basket they have to guard her.
That's true. That's true. Will she average 22-plus points per game in the regular season?
Man, I don't think so. That's
going to be tough. That's
gonna They're going to be focused on, you know, keeping her down a little bit. 22's a lot.
Now, here are some other ones. Record 130-plus made threes in the regular season, -115. To record 3-plus triple-doubles, +210. I could see her doing a triple-double with... she's not the greatest rebounder, but she's in there a lot, so she could do it, right?
Triple-double. How many does she have to record?
Just three. One?
Three? No, I don't think she'll do that.
Okay.
Triple-doubles are tough. She gets a lot of assists, but... I don't think it's going to be 100% all about her. I mean,
no,
I think they're putting these bets together as if you're picturing her playing at Iowa. She's now going to be playing in the, you know, the WNBA with other players that are really, really good on her team.
Yeah.
That are going to handle the ball. I mean, I don't think Indiana's just going to completely get out of her way.
Well, these are sucker bets.
I think so.
What about to record one made three in every game this season, every regular season game?
I think one
in every game.
How many games?
I think they play 35 or something.
I don't know. Steph Curry, does he even do that every game of the season? Pretty much.
Let me go look.
I don't know.
Let me go.
I'm gonna actually bet against that as well.
You're gonna bet against.
I'm gonna say everything's a sucker bet.
It is kind of a sucker bet. I gotta say, because there's gonna be one game where she just misses. Steph Curry this year has had a three. And every game except for one, or that's playoffs. What am I doing? Never mind. It doesn't even matter. But Chris is just letting me dig my own grave over here.
What? Are you talking?
No, I'm still trying to. Okay, Steph Curry has had 3 games this year without a 3, so she's not going to do every game.
I don't think she will either.
Last one. Do you think she'll score any, or score 50 or more points in any
no.
game this season? Okay, we're going to move on.
WNBA is a little better than people are thinking. The WNBA is really pretty, really good.
The Beef says, feels like this WNBA talk will go away immediately once the season starts. It's curious where she'll end up and how many people are actually going to watch the games. I will watch her first one and see how it goes. Chris, you in?
Yeah, I hope that this really is the kind of boost that women's basketball is looking for. We'll see. It's possible that it won't be. Maybe it, you know, is as hot as it's ever going to get in the last 3 weeks.
She's got a lot of pressure on her.
You know what? I hope that people watch some WNBA and realize that there's other players worth watching out there besides her.
Who?
All right, here we go. Padres Brewers tonight, 8.5 runs over under. Scraby. Start off the week.
Padres have been scoring. I'm going to say over.
You're going to go over?
Yep.
They better win 9-0 because Joe Musgrove's pitching a shutout tonight. I feel good about it. No, Joe.
So
I'll say under. I'll say under. Musgrove, 5.5 strikeouts. Go over that by the third inning.
By the third inning.
Scraby?
I will go over.
Also going over. Here's a gimme. I like to throw a gimme in once in a while.
Okay.
Philadelphia, 1.5 runs over Colorado.
Where's the game?
It's on the moon. It doesn't matter where it is, but it's in Philadelphia, which makes the Rockies' odds even less.
Rockies didn't play so bad in Toronto over the weekend.
They lost 2 out of 3. They're 4-12. They're awful.
Okay.
You going to bet on them to actually win a game?
No. Gosh, no.
Taking Philadelphia.
Yes.
That's too much of a gimme. There's some bad teams in baseball, but one of the teams that is really bad that is not playing bad right now, the Oakland A's are 7-8.
Yeah.
How is that even possible with the roster they have? A lot of credit goes so far to Mark Kotze.
I think so. And you know what? Those guys are probably like, hey, everybody thinks we're the laughing stock of baseball. We're going to do something about
it. I'm sure the Rockies feel the same way, but they're not able to do anything about it. I'm sure the White Sox feel the same way. They're not able to do anything about it. The A's are doing something about it. They're winning some ball games. They're getting some really good pitching.
Yeah.
The LA Kings, 1.5 goals over Minnesota tonight at the Crypto.com Center. A little hockey.
Minnesota.
I'll take Minnesota here.
What do you
plus
think?
Plus the goal and a half.
I'm going to take the Kings.
I'm going to go with
what
the
do you
Kings.
Think? Are we done with the bets?
Yeah, there's only 4 bets tonight.
All right.
There's not a lot of games out there.
What do you think of the Phoenix Coyotes moving to Salt Lake City?
Well, good for them just to get to a city that actually knows they're going to exist.
And want them.
You know, I mean, Arizona, Phoenix just did not work out for that franchise. So, you know, I say good. I can't believe the NHL season is still going. I mean, when does it end?
How many games do they have left?
Unbelievable.
Well, I guess they do have to spread it out a little bit more.
Why?
Because they're playing basketball level of number of games, but they're on skates beating each other up every night.
Well, most teams have 1 or 2 games remaining, so the NHL should be closing down shop soon. Get us into the playoffs where it gets very, very exciting. All right, a little bit more on Donovan Solano. Just signed by the Padres to a minor league contract. We'll tell you about that and more. Get you ready for Sam Levitt's pregame show, which follows after a check of traffic. If you love Mediterranean cuisine, like all of us, love it. Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine, Coronado and La Jolla. For dining and takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. Also now at the ballpark. You can get Spiro's, that's right. Right there at Petco Park. Chris Hello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Milwaukee, getting set for tonight's broadcast. He and Jesse Agler have the call. Padres and Brewers. Padres have made a signing. Minor league contract for Donovan Solano, infielder. Played with the Miami Marlins first 4 years of his career. Had a brief stop with the Yankees. Then was out of the major leagues for a couple of years. Resurfaced in San Francisco with the Giants in 2019. The 2020 season, the shortened season, the COVID season, Donovan Solano won the Silver Slugger Award for second baseman, hit .326 that year. 1 more year with the Giants and 1 year with the Reds, last year with Minnesota. 10 years in the bigs, 36 years old, from Barranquilla, Colombia. Donovan Solano.
Thanks for that, Chris.
You're welcome. Tony, look, Padres gonna, you know, get as much as they can get. We'll see. Middle infield, maybe they need a little backup there.
I mean, listen, the pitcher hasn't really cleared up to understand this necessarily, the signing, but I'm sure in due time it will. Added depth is always a good thing. And so I don't know, does that mean Donovan Solano's headed here, or is he going to go to 3A in order to, get some ABs or whatnot? I don't know how it's going to work. But I have find it hard to imagine that they were looking to change things up right now, the way seems things are trending.
Yeah, the way things are going right now, Padres are feeling pretty good about things. Jerks and Profar getting it done yesterday with the 3-run double in the seventh to beat the Dodgers and at least get back. And Will Smith's comments over the weekend, which are on the minds of Padre fans, but maybe not so much on the mind of the Padres as they head into the final game of this series against the Brew Crew. A couple of other things, Tony Gwynn Jr., the Eagles today, Philadelphia Eagles, NFL news, extending wide receiver Devonta Smith through the 2028 season. He gets $51 million guaranteed. That's a good thing for him.
Yeah.
He's averaging 25 mil per season. There are only four other receivers in football that make that much money. Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp, and Smith's teammate in Philadelphia, A.J. Brown. That's it. So the Eagles now have two.
That make that much money in terms of what?
Average season, $25 million per year. Yes.
Okay.
So a big deal for the former Heisman Trophy Award winner. Speaking of wide receivers, the news continues to be less than stellar for Kansas City Chiefs, Rashi Rice. He is now being sued for over $10 million in punitive damages by two people who say they were injured in the six-vehicle crash that Rice allegedly caused by speeding at over 100 miles an hour and racing with a former teammate of his, Teddy Knox. Andy Reid, for his part, said that he has talked to Rashi Rice. And he said that he wants to keep gathering information from the law enforcement people. Reid said, we'll see where everything goes from there. Let the process take place. In the meantime, though, Andy Reid says that Rashi Rice will be a part of Zoom calls and will be part of off-season team meetings. I don't think you should give up on the guy if you're Andy Reid. Leave him out in the cold. But at the same time, Andy Reid, he's been around a lot of unfortunate incidents in his own personal life, his brother to start.
His son.
And, was it his son?
His son, yeah.
I'm sorry,
son.
I thought it was his brother. Yeah, his son. So, you know, he says that Rashi Rice feels bad for what he did. You know, this whole situation really bothers me. Scraby knows. We talked about it on a couple of the days you weren't here, Tony. I just wish that these people would think, look before they leap, as the old saying goes. I mean, it's one thing to feel bad about causing a six-car pileup and injuring people. But if you would have thought about that before you started driving 100 miles an hour, the whole thing could have been avoided in the first place. So that's kind of where I'm at. I hope, you know, the people that were injured in this thing and were affected by this thing, I feel more for them than I'm more concerned about them than I am about what happens to Rashi Rice. I don't know if that's too mean, but
I'm tired of having people. This.
Why? I'm tired of having people go past me at 120 miles an hour on the freeway with nothing happening.
I'm tired of it too, but you really.
What do you mean nothing happening? All this is happening.
He's talking clearly about other people on the freeways now that like pass everyone every day.
But that's kind of the point. And listen, I think everybody is in their right to feel like, yo, man, like that was stupid. Right, it was stupid. It was dangerous, and it ended up hurting people. The consequences of that is that he's going to lose a lot of his money, if not most of it. He's only been in the league a couple years, so I know he ain't really making it like that at this point. And so he's going to have to everything he makes, if that suit ends up holding up, is going to be going to that at this present time. All of the fallout publicly, he's going to have to. These are part of the, this is part of the, you know, the issue, not the issue. This is the repercussions of your actions. You reap what you sow. Now, that being said, all of us have made dumb mistakes. And a lot of us have done dangerous things. We were just fortunate that nothing bad happened in those situations, or we would all be doing the same thing. So my point is that people, young people especially, make these dumb choices all the time. And that would not be life if they didn't, because we all have. His are just in 2024 magnified, and everybody is in on it. Whereas, you know, Chris, when you made your mistakes in the 1970s, early 80s.
Nice. I was about to say 20s.
I was perfect, actually.
70s, 80s. You know, there wasn't, you perhaps didn't endanger anybody. It didn't work out that way. And certainly nobody was looking at you or I, even myself in 2000 to 2003. Some of the silly, dangerous, dumb things I did, fortunately for me, didn't result in anybody getting hurt or myself getting in trouble or any of that. But I learned from those things, like, all right, you know what? Probably shouldn't be doing that. He didn't get that opportunity to learn quietly. He's going to learn publicly, and all this is going to be over his head like for the rest of his life.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I got one thing to leave you with, Tony, before you head into the booth. Or you're already in the booth. Before you head to get into broadcast mode. The famous 85-year-old longtime voice of the New York Yankees, John Sterling, has decided to retire.
Whoa.
Effective immediately.
Immediately? Mm.
Yes, according to the
club.
Did
that just come out?
Just came down about, within the last hour.
I gotta go find Jesse. See
if
he heard
this. Yeah, you better tell Jesse. 85-year-old Sterling joined the Yankees.
Did you hear that, Dave?
In 1989.
Oh, you heard, but Dave knows, so Dave I'm pretty knew. Sure Jesse knows at that
Jesse
point.
Jesse probably knows, too. What's your all-time favorite John Sterling call? I got to tell you what mine is. It's
go
when
ahead.
He got hit by the foul ball. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I do. There's a video of it. It's great.
I mean, I loved all of them. I mean, honestly, I used to play them all doing updates all those years. And I think I wish every broadcaster, you know, did as great a home run call as John Sterling. But when he got hit by that foul ball, that was really funny.
That was good.
Do you remember what he said? He said, ow. He said, there's a foul ball coming back up here. Ow!
Well, everybody knew what happened then.
No, he didn't say ow. He said, ow.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was funny. That was funny.
You know what? I probably have to say the same thing. I don't know too many of John's calls because I, you know, wasn't a Yankee fan or didn't grow up a Yankee fan, but
That's an all-timer. So anyway, tonight, you and Jesse give a little extra shout-out to John
It'll
Sterling.
Be me and Scans tonight. Jesse's
oh,
on
Scan.
The...
Okay.
He's on the dark side tonight.
He's on the TV side. All right, well, you and Scan, a little love for John Sterling. Have a good broadcast, Tony.
Thank you.
Catch up
with
you
tomorrow. Happy Jackie Robinson Day, everybody.
Yes, and happy Jackie Robinson Day with should go without not go without mentioning,
yes,
for sure.
Correct.
Everybody wears their number 42 tonight.
Tony. I just called him Joni. I'm all
Tony,
over the place.
So the
today.
Quick pitch highlights make it impossible to follow your favorite fantasy players tonight because they're all going to be wearing number 42. Let's check some traffic before we get out of here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you love Mediterranean cuisine, like all of us, love it. Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine. Coronado and La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit SpirosCuisine.com. Also now at the ballpark. You can get Spiro's, that's right, right there at Petco Park. Chris Hello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Milwaukee getting set for tonight's broadcast. He and Jesse Agler have the call. Padres and Brewers. Padres have made a signing. Minor league contract for Donovan Solano, infielder. With the Miami Marlins, first 4 years of his career, had a brief stop with the Yankees, then was out of the major leagues for a couple of years, resurfaced in San Francisco with the Giants in 2019. The 2020 season, the shortened season, the COVID season, Donovan Solano won the Silver Slugger Award for second baseman, hit .326 that year. One more year with the Giants and 1 year with the Reds. Last year with Minnesota. 10 years in the bigs, 36 years old, from Barranquilla, Colombia, Donovan Solano.
Thanks for that, Chris.
You're welcome. Tony, look, Padres gonna, you know, get as much as they can get. We'll see. Middle infield, maybe they need a little backup there.
I mean, listen, the pitcher hasn't really cleared up to understand this necessarily, the signing, but I'm sure in due time it will. Added depth is always a good thing. And so I don't know, does that mean Donovan Solano's headed here, or is he going to go to the 3A in order to, get some ABs or whatnot? I don't know how it's going to work, but I find it hard to imagine that they were looking to change things up right now, the way seems things are trending.
Yeah, the way things are going right now, Padres are feeling pretty good about things. Jerks and Profar getting it done yesterday with the 3-run double in the 7th to beat the Dodgers and at least get back. And Will Smith's comments over the weekend, which are on the minds of Padre fans, but maybe not so much on the mind of the Padres as they head into the final game of this series against the Brew Crew. A couple of other things, Tony Gwynn Jr. The Eagles today, Philadelphia Eagles, NFL news, extending wide receiver Devonta Smith through the 2028 season. He gets $51 million guaranteed. That's a good thing for him.
Yeah.
He's averaging 25 mil per season. There are only four other receivers in football that make that much money. Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, and Smith's teammate in Philadelphia, A.J. Brown. That's it. So the Eagles now have two.
That make that much money in terms of what?
Average season, $25 million per year. Yes.
Okay.
So a big deal for the former Heisman Trophy Award winner. Speaking of wide receivers, the news continues to be less than stellar for Kansas City Chiefs, Rashee Rice. He is now being sued for over $10 million in punitive damages by two people who say they were injured in the 6-vehicle crash that Rice allegedly caused by speeding at over 100 miles an hour and racing with a former teammate of his, Teddy Knox. Andy Reid, for his part, said that he has talked to Rashee Rice, and he said that he wants to keep gathering information from the law enforcement people. Reid said, we'll see where everything goes from there. Let the process take place. In the meantime, though, Andy Reid says that Rashee Rice will be a part of Zoom calls and will be part of off-season team meetings. I don't think you should give up on the guy if you're Andy Reid. Leave him out in the cold. But at the same time, Andy Reid, he's been around a lot of unfortunate incidents in his own personal life, his brother to start.
His son.
And, was it his son?
His son, yeah.
I'm sorry,
son.
I thought it was his brother. Yeah, his son. So, you know, he says that Rashee Rice feels bad for what he did. You know, this whole situation really bothers me. Scraby knows. We talked about it on a couple of the days you weren't here, Tony. I just wish that these people would think, look before they leap, as the old saying goes. I mean, it's one thing to feel bad about causing a 6-car pileup and injuring people. But if you would have thought about that before you started driving 100 miles an hour, the whole thing could have been avoided in the first place. So that's kind of where I'm at. I hope, you know, the people that were injured in this thing and were affected by this thing, I feel more for them than I'm more concerned about them than I am about what happens to Rashee Rice. I don't know if that's too mean, but
I'm
tired
I'm
of having people.
This.
Why? I'm
because
tired of having people go past me at 120 miles an hour on the freeway with nothing happening.
I'm tired of it too, but you really?
What do you mean nothing happening? All this is happening.
He's talking about other people on the freeways now that like pass everyone every day.
That's kind of the point. And listen, I think everybody is in their right to feel like, yo, man, like that was stupid, right? It was stupid. It was dangerous, and it ended up hurting people. The consequences of that is that he's going to lose a lot of his money, if not most of it. He's only been in the league a couple years, so I know he ain't really making it like that at this point. And so he's going to have to, everything he makes, if that suit ends up holding up, is going to be going to that at this present time. All of the fallout publicly, he's going to have to, these are part of the, this is part of the, you know, the issue, not the issue, this is the repercussions of your actions. You reap what you sow. Now, that being said, all of us have made dumb mistakes, and a lot of us have done dangerous things. We were just fortunate that nothing bad happened in those situations, or we would all be doing the same thing. So my point is that people, young people especially, make these dumb choices all the time. And that would not be life if they didn't, because we all have. His are just, in 2024, magnified, and everybody is in on it. Whereas, you know, Chris, when you made your mistakes in the 1970s, early 80s.
I was about to say 20s.
I was perfect, actually.
70s, 80s. You know, there wasn't, you perhaps didn't endanger anybody. It didn't work out that way. And certainly nobody was looking at you or I. Even myself in 2000 to 2003. Some of the silly, dangerous, dumb things I did, fortunately for me, didn't result in anybody getting hurt or myself getting in trouble or any of that. But I learned from those things, like, all right, you know what? Probably shouldn't be doing that. He didn't get that opportunity to learn quietly. He's going to learn publicly, and all this is going to be over his head, like, for the rest of his life.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I have one thing to leave you with, Tony, before you head into the booth. Or you're already in the booth. Before you head to get into broadcast mode. The famous 85-year-old longtime voice of the New York Yankees, John Sterling, has decided to retire.
Whoa.
Effective immediately.
Immediately? Mm.
Yes, according to the
club. Did that just come out?
Just came down about, within the last hour.
I gotta go find Jesse. See if he heard
this
yet.
Yeah, you better tell Jesse. 85-year-old Sterling joined the Yankees.
Did you hear that, Dave?
In 1989.
Oh, you heard, but Dave knows, so Dave, I'm pretty sure Jesse knows at that
Jesse
point.
Probably knows, too. My what's your all-time favorite John Sterling call? I gotta tell you what mine is. It's when he got hit by the foul ball. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I do. There's a video of it. It's great. It's great.
I mean, I loved all of them. I mean, honestly, I used to play them all doing updates all those years. And I wish every broadcaster, you know, did as great a home run call as John Sterling. But when he got hit by that foul ball, that was really funny.
That was good.
Do you remember what he said? He said, ow! He said, there's a foul ball coming back up here. Ow!
Well, everybody knew what happened then.
No, he didn't say ow. He said ow.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was funny.
That was funny. You know what? I probably have to say the same thing. I don't know too many of John's calls because I, you know, wasn't a Yankee fan or didn't grow up a Yankee fan, but yeah. That's
an all-timer. So anyway, tonight you and Jesse give a little extra shout out to John.
It'll
Sterling.
Be me and Scans tonight. Jesse's on the He's on the dark side tonight.
He's on the TV side. All right. Well, you and Scan, a little love for John Sterling. Have a good broadcast, Tony.
Thank you.
Catch up
happy
with you
Jackie
tomorrow.
Robinson Day, everybody.
Yes, and happy Jackie Robinson Day. With should go without not go without mentioning
yes,
for sure.
Correct.
Everybody wears their number 42 tonight.
Thanks, Tony. So Joni, I just called him Joni. I'm all
Tony,
over the place.
So the quick pitch highlights make it impossible to follow your favorite fantasy players tonight because they're all going to be wearing number 42. Let's check some traffic before we get out of here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.